But second, to acknowledge that he had a rough go and say it was not a strong start in the debate, but then he finished strong. I mean, look, I think we talked about this in the lead up to the debate. Almost always after, campaign officials always say, our guy won. It was the greatest debate ever. You know, we're resounding victory. So when you concede any point like that, you know it was not a great night.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's your host, Vince Vetrano.
Every single thing you said is a lie. Every single one.
Russia, 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 Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. If everything he does is a lie, it's misinformation and disinformation.
Debate over who outlied who. Today, both President Biden and former President Trump hit the campaign trail. The president with events in North Carolina and New York, former President Trump in Virginia today. By virtually all accounts, it was a poor showing in the debate by President Biden. We go live to Washington this morning with ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers. Morning, Karen.
Good morning.
Hey, so publicly, it seems like the spin is kind of what Vice President Harris said. Tough start, strong finish. But what are you hearing behind the scenes?
You know, and I think that was even notable, the fact that she went out and did those interviews and felt the need to spin that and acknowledge, you know, first of all, to have to go out and do things like that. But second, to acknowledge that he had a rough go and say it was not a strong start in the debate, but then he finished strong. I mean, look, I think we talked about this in the lead up to the debate. Almost always after, campaign officials always say, our guy won. It was the greatest debate ever. You know, we're resounding victory. So when you concede any point like that, you know it was not a great night. There are discussions now privately among Democratic officials about what could happen next and whether or not it would be possible to replace Joe Biden as a Democratic nominee. He's not the nominee yet. That would, of course, happen in Chicago in August. But you were hearing former elected officials last night on cable. You're starting to see the punditry this morning through columns saying that maybe the best thing for him to do would be to step aside. There is no indication he would do that. That is very clear from people around him. The president was asked last night how he thought he performed. He said, I think we did well. But, you know, he had two big things that they were looking to accomplish going into the debate. One, draw contrast with Donald Trump on big issues like abortion rights, talk about his threat to democracy and tie it to January 6th. And also to convince Americans who are concerned about the president's age that he is up to doing this job for four more years. And by all accounts from last night and watching that and talking to people, the president did not do either of those things last night.
Talking with ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers. On the issue of could there be a different nominee for the Democrats, Karen, we have to remember they've got more time than do the Republicans. We're coming up here in Milwaukee just a few weeks away, inside 3 weeks now, on the Republican National Convention. But because of the Olympics, the Democrats don't, it's not a 1-2. They're not until August. So there is time to make these decisions.
Yeah, there is. And I think it's, you know, it's complicated. I could steer you towards some literature to read of like how this would all work, you know, just in terms of the logistics, you know, before and after the convention. But it's also just the personal decision. I mean, you know, there were chances to do this a year ago and the president wanted to run for reelection. There were Democratic officials who expressed concern about that at the time, but it was full steam ahead. And it's just hard to see who is going to be the person who would say you have to step aside. It's just, you know, this is the president and they had the chance, as I say, to do that decision a year ago. And now here we are with just a couple months until the election. But, you know, today a lot of hand wringing among Democrats about what that performance means for their chances in critical battleground states going forward.
Always appreciate your time, Karen. Thanks so much.
Have a great day.
Karen Travers live with us from the White House this morning. We've got sports coming up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
NBA free agency period opens this weekend. 2024 draft now in the books.
With the 33rd pick in the 2024 NBA draft, the Milwaukee Bucks select Tyler Smith from Houston, Texas, and the NBA G League's Team Ignite.
Kind of thought he was going to say Tyler Kolick. Another 19-year-old for the Bucks, A.J. Johnson, with the first-round pick on Wednesday for Milwaukee. Johnson from California and was playing professionally in Australia last season. Tyler Smith averaged about 14 points per game in the NBA D League last season. The Bucks passed on two Marquette, sorry, G League. Getting my G's and my D's, you know what I mean? Bucks passed on two Marquette University stars. Both Tyler Kolek and Oso Iguodoro from the Golden Eagles end up going to the Portland Trail Blazers. College hoops, whole new world, as Aladdin said in Disney. Name, image, likeness, transfer portal. Your Wisconsin Badger is going to look a lot different this year. Head coach Greg Gard said he's picked up some talent through transfers.
You know, we've tried to go and make sure we're too deep at every position and really good in those positions. So, obviously, we brought in a point guard and Cameron Hunter. We brought in a wing and John Tonjay, and we brought in Xavier Amos. So, those three guys, you know, coming in with the mindset to contribute right out of the gate and help us right away.
Gard, a guest on ESPN Wisconsin's Kyle Brust and Nortman every afternoon. Next door, Brewers back at it tonight. We've got Craig Counsell and the Chicago Cubs in town. The Cubs are bad. They're in last place in the National League Central. They're 10.5 games behind the Brewers. They did snap a four-game losing streak Thursday afternoon. They beat the Giants in San Francisco 5-3 in 10 innings. So they will be travel weary. And like I said, not a very good baseball team. However, we know their fans will travel. Counsell and the Cubs embarrassed last time they were here at Wrigley North, as they like to call it. So expect a good series. 7-10 is the first pitch tonight from American Family Field. You tend to look for products made in the USA.
Sure.
Make you feel a little warm and fuzzy, mm-hmm. right? A little better about your purchase. How about made in Wisconsin?
Yes. And I think a lot of stores are kind of making it easier now by labeling a lot of those products like local, yeah. locally grown.
Grocery store, right? Mm-hmm. We'll have like whole Wisconsin products yeah. and whatever. I definitely do that, particularly with things that we're known for like dairy or anything in agriculture. Love a Wisconsin product. Survey by a company called Hosting Advice revealed Wisconsinites are interested in made in Wisconsin products, even willing to pay more for them. They use some methodology to determine 12% is about the premium we're willing to pay to get something that's been made in our state. To that end, I'm featuring this morning a company that I just discovered, despite having it been around for decades. When I say locally produced spices, you think...
Penzies?
Yep, everybody thinks Penzies. Well, this company is called PS Seasoning. They're based in Iron Ridge, Wisconsin, which is in Dodge County. And it was a new line of spices that they're offering that really caught my eye. These are designed with burgers in mind. And the idea is, instead of topping your burger with this, that, and the other thing, it's all in the spice. I talked with executive chef Jed Hansen about that line and how they come up with all these flavors at PS Seasoning. Everybody wants some.
I want some too. Oh, yeah. We started with a smoker company, actually. The founder built the smoker. He would make sausage in these smokers, and he would sell the smokers to local butchers and things like that, but then they needed seasoning for the sausage that they were making, and that's how the company started. We're sourcing ingredients from all over the world. Chili peppers, peppercorns, garlic, onions, even different salts. So it's all coming here, and it's blended here in Iron Ridge, which is very cool, at our production plant. When we thought of our burger seasonings, which is a burger line that we recently came out with, we were really looking for how to make the experience better.
I don't know why they call this stuff Hamburger Helper. It does just fine by itself, huh?
Like our works, for example, where we've got tomato, onion, cheese, mustard, and pickle all in the seasoning blend. And that creates a really cool flavor profile that, you know, it's all in one. It takes the outside burger and puts it in.
Did you intend that, chef, to be something I add in the cooking process, or is this something I add after as a topper?
So it can be both. You can mix it into your meat if you're making burgers or something. What I do is I'll make my burger patties and then I'll use it as a topical seasoning. And the key to it, if you ask me, Vince, is letting it sit on there for about 15, 20 minutes before you hit the grill, because that'll help the salt dissolve a little bit and adhere to the meat a lot better before you go on the grill.
Talking with executive chef Jed Hansen from PS Seasoning, Iron Ridge, Wisconsin. Now, I bet you're going to like hearing this, but I threw some of, I think it was, is one of them called The Backyard?
Yeah, The Backyard, yep.
Yeah, The Backyard. Okay, so I threw some of that on top of some roasted asparagus, and it was ridiculous good.
Oh, sure. So there's natural butter flavor in there that really elevates that blend. Otherwise, you know, the salt, pepper, and garlic that's in that blend, it's been really popular. It's a pretty classic flavor profile, but that butter flavor in there really takes it over the top.
I got the recipe from the Ladies' Home Journal.
But we really try to stay ahead of the curve to make sure that we're giving something to the consumer that isn't out there yet and that they can really enjoy.
See, you know, I prefer to think that it's you and a few of your buddies up there in Iron Ridge with a bunch of different spices and say, add that taste. Try that.
Yeah, exactly. It's just throwing stuff in a bowl and mixing it up.
Right.
You know, that may be how it starts, but
there's some of that, though, right?
Through a little bit more, refining than that, yeah.
Okay, but there's some of that, right? You ultimately got to taste it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and you know, some of our team will cook things at home and bring things in to start a conversation about how can we make this better or what can we do with this next. You know, it doesn't matter where it starts as long as we get something to the consumer that we're very proud of.
Do you ever have stuff, somebody brings something in, and they're like, all right, I mixed this with this and this, you know, give this a try, and you're like, ah, nope.
You know what? I've been a chef for 18 years, and even I have those moments still. So, yeah, it happens to everybody.
They're not all winners, right?
They're not all winners, you know?
MLB.com's Adam McAlvey joins us as our guest on Brewers 360, coming up at 7:45.
The LA Dodgers beat the Chicago White Sox earlier this week 4-0, but the MVP of the game was not anybody on the team. It was instead a bat boy who made an incredible play on a screamer of a ball that was flying straight at Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, have you seen the video of this?
It's
ridiculous.
It's all over the place this morning. So this ball just comes flying, and he catches it barehanded, by the way. Just all kind of casually hands it to a fan after the play. And so, meanwhile, did you see the interpreter?
No. Shohei's guy?
His face just jaw drops. Like, just his reaction is almost the best part of the video.
Is Shohei the most expensive player in baseball? Greg Pancake Hill, producer of the program, confirms. So, I mean, this guy is like a $1 billion player, right? And if you've been out to the ball game, you know some guys pay attention in the dugout and some guys don't. A lot of them are up on the rail, you know, looking at the action. But sometimes you're walking around, you're doing stuff, and it appeared like he was in the background when this foul ball came screaming in there. And he could have been seriously injured had he been hit by this ball. And the bat boy just reached out and barehanded it.
Yeah. And then gave it to a fan.
It's like, no big deal, right?
No big deal at all. By the way, this has been a... He's been working there for 20 years. He's 38. He's not... I think a bat boy
bat dude.
Is Batman.
He
hello.
Is Batman. This news report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. Again with the rain. My kid's a lifeguard. She can't get on the stand.
It's been awful.
My teenage daughter, like, just two lifeguarding jobs. And, like, I come home from work, she's home. She's like, yeah, we're canceled again. Canceled again. Like, can't get in the pool. Tennis canceled this morning. Your kids have tennis?
Yeah. We're waiting to see the decision a little bit later this morning. So they've been trying to get the lessons going.
And for folks who work outdoors, just not a great run right here. Yeah. Again with the rain. I cannot believe it. We're already above average for June, I think. But these scattered showers, as you heard in Tyler Moore's forecast, going to kind of hang around today. May put a bit of a damper on Summerfest, but sometimes these are the best days to go down there. Lines may be a little bit shorter and an opportunity to get on the ground. So we'll keep watching that through the day. It's not like a total washout. It's just kind of scattered. But that possibility of scattered showers seems to hang around today and tonight as well. We've got Brewers 360 that's coming up next, and Major League Baseball's Adam McAlvey joins us next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers and Cubs, 7:10 first pitch this evening. From American Family Field, Cubs in last place right now, and the Brewers coming off a day off and a sweep of the world champion Rangers. Brewers 360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive. Holiday Automotive, it's worth the trip. And from MLB.com.
You can do it .com too. That's the way I do it. .com. I'm .comming right now.
MLB.com's Adam McAlvey, our guest on Brewers 360. What's up, Adam?
Hey. Yuke is the best intern. He's doing great this year.
He's dot comming right now. Hey, man, what to make of the Cubs as they come to town? I mean, I want to suggest that they're kind of free-falling. They scraped out a win in 10 innings yesterday in San Francisco, but then have to take that long flight home. You know what that flight is like, and then come up here to Milwaukee. I want to say we take at least two of three, if not a sweep. That said, the Cubs will be up for this matchup.
Absolutely. And a talented team, a dangerous team, back against the wall. They're past their mathematical midpoint now. Vince, I've said this a bunch to you. Like, it's so hard in baseball to say a team should take X of X in a series. I mean, I'll say it. The Oakland A's came in here to Milwaukee last year and swept the Brewers, and the Brewers were a really good team last year, won more than 90 games. So you don't know that. But what to know about the Cubs, it reminds me of, I think it was Ken Maka who told me this, but this is like attributed to a bunch of different people.
A Ken Maka pull. All right, go ahead, proceed.
Ken Maka pull. Do you know what? It's funny. I said that to someone on the last road trip, something about Ken Maka, and I got the same response. But this is a wise adage. I think that came from Whitey Herzog, that to be a good manager, you need a sense of humor and a good bullpen. And Craig Counsell, it appears, doesn't have either right now. The bullpen is not good, and the sense of humor from some of the clips I've seen is it's hiding right now. So, that makes such a big difference when you can close out games, when you have lots of good options. You know, you think about what Pat Murphy has been able to do because of Brian Hudson coming on, because Trevor McGill is suddenly capable of being a major league closer. And he's got all these different options, and it's so many different players that were not like high on the list of these are going to be bullpen stars this year. And it's guys filling in, and they're able to do the job when the Brewers are without Devin Williams for a little longer.
I couldn't believe it. I don't know if what you were hearing ahead of the start of the new guy we just acquired, the former Cy Young Award winner, Dallas is Keuchel. Is that how we say it?
Yeah, Dallas Keuchel.
It's Keuchel. So guy basically, well, Matt Arnold clarified, he didn't walk off the airplane and go directly to the hill, but it was fairly close. I mean, we bring this guy in, and all of a sudden, he's our starter. What was the postgame, Adam, in terms of anybody having thoughts on what his future is with the Brewers?
Well, look, remember last year they brought in Julio Teheran, who started a bunch of opening days for the Braves and was once, you know, one of the handful of best National League pitchers for a couple of years running. Well, Dallas Keuchel, for a stretch with the Houston Astros, was one of the best pitchers in the American League, one of the best pitchers in baseball. And it's a thing where the Brewers have great need. Keuchel was pitching pretty well at the Mariners AAA club. It cost them a dollar in a trade. There's literally no downside.
And a bag of balls.
I actually covered in the minor leagues once a player who was traded for a bag of balls because he didn't have the right paperwork coming. He was Canadian, and he got into Canada and then couldn't get back into the U.S., so they ended up trading him for baseball. So that was a good – I can tell you that story sometime. But, it's a very low-risk play. You know, and they have kind of coverage, bullpen coverage behind him. What Pat Murphy said the other day is he sort of was thinking he should have maybe taken him out after three. And that doesn't sound like a lot. It doesn't sound like where a pitcher should be tired. But as you said, I mean, the deal started Sunday afternoon. Matt Klentak, who's one of the Brewers' front office gurus, with former GM of the Phillies, He initiated talks with the Mariners. The deal was done by the end of the game. Then they got him to Milwaukee. There was like a physical. There was meeting everybody. Then all of a sudden he's signing a contract at 10:30 in the morning and throwing his first pitch at 1. It was like a lot happening. And, you know, emotionally it was kind of a draining day. So I'm really curious to see what Keuchel does in start number 2. I think that's going to be a tell of whether they have something here. And he's an accomplished guy. He's incredibly motivated to squeeze a little more life out of his baseball career. And talking about pitching with joy and pitching to appreciate it and getting everything out of every day you have in the big leagues and all those sort of special things that make you think maybe this guy can deliver them a series of starts that bridges the gap until they get some of these other arms healthy again. And that's what Julio Teheran did last year. And it was a good little run, and the Brewers hope to kind of get that again from Dallas Keuchel and maybe more.
I like that story you're telling. Adam, thanks so much.
See ya.
If there's a team that it can happen on, it is this one. Brewers and Cubs, 7:10 first pitch today at American Family Field.
You can do it .com, too. That's the way I do it. .com. I'm .com-ing right now.
Summerfest Trivia with Tausch up next.
Idea Man.
It's not like from an accomplishment standpoint, it's not like you ran a marathon. It's not like you just won some big championship. It's you survived.
You just hung in for another 365.
Yeah.
Innovator.
You look at it, that is the biggest and best thing of the year, is that you just got to a birthday. I feel like that's probably going to be a disappointment.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
Well, happy birthday nonetheless, Tausch.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Greg Pancake Hill produces the program. He will lead us through some Summerfest trivia with Tausch this morning. Morning, Mark.
Good morning. Hey, Vinny, so, you know, we've had some fun. I've seen you at a couple of golf outings, and, you know, you've said that you're not a double glove guy, and, you know, there's been some discrepancy whether or not that's the case. I'm starting to wonder, like, are your hands just so gentle and so needed to be, like, taken care of? I had our good friend and teammate Greg Magic send me a photo yesterday. You guys were in a pickleball classic charitable event over at Summerfest, which is awesome. One raining yesterday. Wasn't like super hot yesterday, and he sends me a picture of you double gloving playing pickleball. I don't know. I mean, the photo said 1,000 words to me. Tell me that I'm crazy, but what are you wearing two gloves playing pickleball?
I'm not going to tell you crazy. We're trolling you, man. That was Craig's idea. He's like, here, put these on. And the picture.
So you're telling me you did not play one point of pickleball double gloving?
I did not. Not two gloves, not
all
one.
All right. Well, that helps me restore my faith in the pickleball community a little bit, because I was convinced, you know, that you're out there rocking because your hands are so delicate that you needed to glove up playing pickleball. So that makes me feel a little bit better as we head into Summerfest trivia.
That's going to make Greg feel awesome. A quick aside, too, before we get to trivia on that, Tausch. So we're in this charity tournament, and I'm teamed up with Matzik, who's a fantastic athlete. And I'm like, good, we have a chance here. Greg walks onto the court, and he's asking me the rules.
That ain't good.
He's played one game of pickleball ever. I'm like, are you serious, man?
Yeah, and as you found out, as you know, you're a tennis guy, and you know, athleticism and all of the stuff that goes in with tennis, pickleball is a much more skilled game, I think, where you can play against like a 65-year-old woman who you would think you'd smoke, and next thing you know, their skills and everything else for the game of pickleball is much better, and their knowledge of the rules, and next thing you could look at it and say, what the hell just happened? I just have Greg Matzik, who's a decathlete, I believe, at Oshkosh, or a sprinter, and you guys get beat, and you can look up and say, I don't know what just occurred. That's pickleball for you.
And that's what happened. All right, we got to get to some trivia here. Greg Pancake Hill produces the show.
I kind of want to know.
You did lose yesterday. Badly.
Yeah.
I want to know.
But don't worry, Greg got his joke in with the two gloves, so that happened.
Yeah, well, it sounds like the joke was on him. That's what it sounds like.
Good pick out, Tausch. Would one glove get you ridicule on the pickleball court? We don't have time. We don't have time. Summerfest trivia.
Okay.
Here we go. 9:30 tonight at the BMO stage. REO Speedwagon, this song, Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore, off the ever-popular Wheels Are Turning album in 1984. One song that peaked at number one on the Billboard's Top 100 chart. How many weeks did it stay at number one? Multiple choice. 1 week, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, or 6 weeks?
Ooh, I'm going to say 1 week. I think it was a one-week wonder. That's what I'm going to go with.
Michelle, you probably you certainly know more about music than I do.
Five?
All right, six then. I think this was this had staying power.
You all picked the wrong answer. That's 3 weeks. 3 weeks is the right answer.
I actually think that it takes more skill for all three of us to not get it right when there's only four choices than it is to get all.
Yeah.
For all of us.
Well, something special just happened there.
This will be interesting because this one only has three choices. Let's see if we go for a full strikeout. 9:30 tonight at the U-Line stage. It's All American Rejects. One of the four band members who lied about lied about playing an instrument in order to get into an early iteration of the band? Which band member lied about playing an instrument that now plays an instrument in All American Rejects? Was it the bass player, the drummer, or the guitar player?
Well, I was immediately thinking drummer because I feel like that's the one that, you know, everybody will fake play the drums. I'm not sure anybody fake plays the bass, so I'm going to say drum.
I was actually thinking bassist because you look at the bassist and you're like, you don't seem to do a lot, just a pluck here and a pluck there, right?
Slap the bass.
Right. You're wrong about that, but right.
Michelle.
Then I'll take, what was the other option, the guitarist?
The guitar player,
I mean, I'll just take it just so we don't all lose. All
right. I love the team effort. It's the bass player.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the bass player.
I can play bass. Boink,
yeah,
boink, boink.
He joined the band in 2000. That's actually funny you say that because he saw the guitar player play a gig. Was like, hey, I want to be in your band. I play bass. Lied. But the guitar player kept him in because he could sing. And now he's the singer and bass player. So you kind of double up there. All right.
A couple pulls on it.
Finally, at 9:30 on the Generac stage, we got Hippocampus. Where on the human body is the hippocampus?
I know.
Nope. Stand by. Go ahead. Tell us, where's the hippocampus?
Oh, no multiple choice.
No, this one's all. Your multiple choice is within the limitations of the human body. So there's your pick.
I'm going to say it's around the hip.
Okay, like that.
I believe it's the base of the skull. And it's, I don't know if it's technically part of the brain, but it's right around the base of the skull, back of the neck there.
Michelle?
I was going to say brain.
Debbie, tell him.
Definitely brain.
Yeah, it's the brain.
The hips? What?
Hey, it's hippocampus. I kind of saw where you're going, Tosh.
Yeah, I had no clue. I need to go back and check the anatomy science books and try to get the thing figured. I should have known that, but hips, you had me thinking hips.
You learned something today on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Amen.